On our way to Jesus, there may be some stumbling blocks, and I'd like to show a few of them now in the next time. But before we start with this, I'd like to make a proclamation using a Bible verse. And a proclamation is easily said, I read a Bible verse, I speak it out, and I turn it towards myself concerning the content. Let's make an example in Romans 15, verse 13. May the God of hope fill me with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit I may abound in hope. So this proclamation is very promising. It, when I speak it out, it will bring me joy, peace, and more hope. But in this Bible verse is a precondition. This is only possible when we believe in the power of the Holy Spirit, because that's exactly written there. So that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we may abound in hope and so on. That's a precondition. So we shall have joy, peace, hope, and many other things that we may get by the gifts from God, but can be something in the way. And I'd like to show this in an example, what can be a stumbling block, by using a puzzle. So when we really deny the power of God and we deny the power of the Holy Spirit, this Holy Spirit will not give us these gifts because we don't want to have them. And that, living without the power of the Holy Spirit, leads to that what is called for the Church of Laodicea, lukewarm. And Jesus doesn't like when we are lukewarm because Jesus likes what's good for us, and lukewarm does not seem to be something good for us. And when we will look at unbelievers, Jesus also likes what is good for unbelievers. Isn't that true? And a lukewarm Christianity that lives in front of the world that they are as ill as the world and as full of sin as the world is not really something for unbelievers that they like to follow, and it does not motivate them to hand over their lives to Jesus. Therefore, Jesus calls lukewarm worse than being cold. And when we have a look at the stories from the first apostles and from the first churches 2000 years ago, these reports have nothing to do with being lukewarm. But when we look at the status of our Western churches, well, in any disco, there may be more life than in these churches. these churches are really in need, and there's a cry going out worldwide around the globe, and this cry should wake them up.
I'm crying,
clamaba yo.
I'm sobbing.
Yo estaba sollozando.
I said, what does it mean, God?
Y dije, Señor, ¿qué significa esto?
And it's clearly as the voice I'm hearing now.
Y así de clarita como la voz que escucho ahora.
The Lord said,
el Señor me dijo,
you're blind.
Tú eres ciega.
And I started screaming.
Y comencé a gritar.
I want to see.
Quiero ver.
Whatever you see.
Lo que sea que tú ves.
And he showed me.
Y él me mostró.
He showed me you.
Me mostró a usted.
He showed me you.
Me mostró a usted.
Hey! I saw the church.
Vi a la iglesia.
I love the church.
Y amo a la iglesia.
But I saw the church.
Pero vi a la iglesia.
I saw the church.
Vi a la iglesia.
Eating cotton candy.
Que comían caramelo de algodón.
And drinking Diet Coke.
Y bebían soda de dieta, Coca-Cola.
He said, spiritually.
Yo dije, espiritualmente.
They are in need.
Ellos están necesitados.
They are in need.
Están necesitados.
Of bread.
De pan.
Fresh bread.
De un pan fresco.
The bread of my presence.
Del pan de mi presencia.
The bread of my presence.
Del pan de mi presencia.
The bread of my presence.
Del pan de mi presencia.
Hey! Obey the commands of the Lord.
Obedecer los mandamientos del Señor.
His commands are to remain in His love.
Sus mandamientos son permanecer en mi amor.
I was just thinking on this verse, and then all of a sudden I fell asleep, and I am in this big church, and I'm looking around, and everything is really stoic and very mechanical, and there's like plastic smiles, and it was like a very shallow, very, very shallow, but they were having a celebration, and there were these waiters and waitresses with big platters of food, and everything seemed so fake, and so it was just the most eerie feeling, and my adrenaline starts rushing and my heart starts beating very fast, and I say to myself, I have to get out of here. I have to get out of here. So I'm looking around. I'm trying to figure out where the door is. And I was very confused. I was so confused. And I said, but Lord, I go, what is going on? What is going on? And he looked at me and he goes, zeal for my house has consumed me. Zeal for my house has consumed me. And I said, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, but there is no evil in you. If this is you, then what's evil? And he points over here, and I follow his finger, and I look, and I see, just for lack of a better word, it was like some kind of Buddhist monk is growing flowers, and there's this real aura of peace and safety and this real eerie peace. And the Lord says to me, woe to those who call good evil and evil good in that day, and blessed are you if you are not offended. Woe to those who call good evil and evil good in that day, and blessed are you if you are not offended. I'm not offended, God. I'm not offended. But if this is you, what do you want me to do? And he looks right at me and he goes, sing Zion, sing. Sing Zion, sing.
He is actually receiving messages from God.
This morning he said to me, Mommy, Jesus spoke to me last night about his word and his coming again, which is going to be very, very, very soon. Do you know that, Mommy? And then he would tell about the bride. Jesus wants to come and fetch his bride, but his bride is not ready. And I said, why are you crying? He says, in heaven there's a golden bridge. And after the bridge there's a huge door with pearls around it. He says, but there's people standing outside and they're crying. I said, why are they crying? He says, they can't go in. He says, there's a wedding feast inside. And everybody's not ready. He wrote Matthew 25, and he left for school.
And he should have not even known what was in Matthew 25.
Well, I didn't.
So what did you, you read it immediately?
Yes, I ran to my Bible and I read it, and it was about the 10 virgins.
Five wise and five foolish.
Five is ready and five is not. And I tell you, this is the bride today. We're all in church. But Jesus did not come to give us religion. He came for an intimate, passionate love relationship with a king. Yes, one morning he was writing and he says, Mommy, you have to go and tell the world that Jesus says, this is the Laodicea church. So I went to the Lord. I said, Lord, what do you want to tell me about cold or hot, but now you're lukewarm? And the Spirit of God stopped me. He says, no, wait, wait. What do you people call colds? We say in South Africa, we said ice colds. And if it's hot, like fire. And the rest? Lukewarm. So you can choose today. Are you ice cold or are you fire hot? Hot like fire.
And what does he say will happen if we're just like everyone else?
The lukewarm, you see, and this is where you don't need God. Everything is so great in your life. And this is what the book of Revelation says. He says, I'll spit you out of my mouth.
But you were like that.
Exactly.
I mean, you went to church, you would consider yourself a Christian, but
exactly.
You were doing it yourself.
You see, God wants us to
your
have
way.
His fire. He wants us to have this fire of God inside of you. And if you're sitting today and listening to us and you don't feel the fire of the living God in you, you have to know, you have to push in. There's more. There's more than just being born again.
Once again, I greet you in the name of Jesus the Christ.
Nuevamente le saludo en el nombre de Jesús el Cristo.
God said to me some time ago, he said to me, Renee, do you know the most incredible sin is committed in most churches?
Dios me dijo hace un tiempo atrás, ¿sabes, Renny, que uno de los pecados más grandes
in America every Sunday.
En las iglesias en América
said,
cada domingo.
That?
Yo le dije, ¿cuál es?
He said, blasphemy takes place in the church.
Me dijo, la blasfemia que ocurre
said,
en la iglesia.
How?
Yo dije, ¿cómo?
Because he said every Sunday.
Dice, porque cada domingo
they're denying the move of my spirit.
Niegan el mover de mi espíritu.
They quench my spirit.
Apagan
they
mi espíritu.
Grieve my spirit.
Contristan
they won't
a mi espíritu.
Respond to my spirit.
No le responden a mi espíritu.
They're looking at me and saying it's not me.
Me están mirando y dicen que no soy yo.
Hallelujah. My friend, the days of when play church are coming to an end. Apathy. It kills revival. We preach the gospel that you can get to heaven any old how, any way. Most things will do. Oh, I'm just going to say it. I know I'm live on television. Anything will go in our pulpits. Anything will do. Whether their lives are contrary to the word or not, anything goes. You can divorce your wife and you'll be in the pulpit. Oh, I know I'm getting dangerous. You've only got me for one more night. Don't worry. But there's a standard, because narrow is the way that leads to life. You can't get to heaven any old how. I want to ask you tonight, how do your robes look? Have you checked them lately? Those of you that are watching at home, you gave your life to Jesus, but now your robes, they're stained. Let me tell you tonight, Jesus said to his church, look, you have a name that you are rich, that you are alive, but you are dead. Make your garments white. Get ready to meet your maker. Narrow is
the way. Narrow is the way. Can I go for it, Pastor? I feel a boldness coming on me, my God. Jesus. The Church of England say that we're going to gather. We're going to gather the Muslim leaders. We're going to gather the Hindu leaders. We're going to gather all the heads of all religions because we all belong to the same God. No, we do not. Jesus Christ, He is the way, He is the truth, He is the life. No one comes to the Father except through Him. Jesus, He is the way. Church, the clock is on. Countdown. The Holy Ghost will not always be here. It is Him who is now restraining unrelented evil. I saw a lawlessness come upon the United Kingdom last year that I thought I would never see. I feel the fire of God. I saw young people hitting the streets, setting cars ablaze, going into shops, busting open the windows, taking anything they like. And I felt the Spirit of God say to me, you're already seeing lawlessness abound. Pentecost is a lost language. Even in the church, they tell me that's old-fashioned talk. We don't have speaking in tongues. It's old-fashioned. We need to be relevant. Narrow is the way. Narrow is the way. The path is becoming narrower. I feel this in my heart. God began it at the end of 2011 and He's continuing in 2012. The axe is falling, believe me. You feel it. The Lord is... He's pruning that vine. Not everybody will carry His name and get away with it, because narrow is the way. Doesn't matter what suit you wear. Doesn't matter how long you've been in the church. Preachers that are so well known, suddenly, just like that. Just like that. Why? Because God is preparing a church that His glory may dwell in their midst. Narrow is the way that leads to revival. Narrow is the way that leads to healing. Narrow is the way to see your altars filled. Narrow is the way. We might be a voice right now that people don't want to hear, but that don't make it wrong. I'm telling you, in the world right now, there are unseen forces that have been released, not only in the world, but on the church. You better know about the blood. You better apply it to your life. Jesus said, give me your heart. Give me your heart. A heart to God is all the same. It's either burning with the fire of His love or it is full of darkness. There is no in between, because narrow is the way.
So these were only a few voices from some people around the globe crying out to the churches that it's urgently time to change. So Heidi Baker said that these churches are blind and naked, as a comparison to a Bible verse in the book of Revelation, because God is not present in these churches, and his force, his power, the power from on high, is not wanted. And Misty Edwards had the vision of a church that is really stoic, and they are only interested in serving some food, but not in serving the Holy Spirit to others. And there's a comparison with a monk. So in the world, we like Buddhism, we like wellness at spa, and any kind of ego trip is allowed, but not power from Jesus. Rita McPherson says that we should have a look at the timescale. Jesus will come very soon, and his bride is not ready. And only half of the virgins were filled with oil, with the oil of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus doesn't come to this earth because of religion, like he has seen at the Pharisees 2,000 years ago, but he likes to have a relationship with us. And Jesus said to her child that the churches of today are Laodicea. Again, the comparison with lukewarmness. René McLean makes a comparison with blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, because these churches push the Holy Spirit out of the service at every Sunday. They have their own agenda and no time for the inviting of the Holy Spirit and handing over the ruling over this church towards the Holy Spirit. But Nelson Morris says that this kind of plain church must have an end now, because it is no replacement for a relationship with Jesus, and this kind of apathy kills revival. Today is everything allowed, but not the standard of God's word. And the world says we all have the same God, but that's not true, because only Jesus is the way to the Father, and this way gets more and more narrow when we look at the laws of the world and we forget about the laws of God. And this clock stands on countdown, because the lawlessness that is described in the Bible for the end time, the standards of moral standards of marriage and of behavior, are now deleted worldwide. These are bad news. These are urgent cries towards the church to wake up. But there's a good news. Jesus comes into these churches worldwide now and changes things, turns the tables, and tries to build up a new relationship to himself. So these were a few voices in this movie, out of an uncountable amount of them, who cry out worldwide to wake up the church. Why? Why is it necessary to wake up the church? Because something is wrong with Christianity, and because the world outside is getting mad. Good things are called evil, and evil things are called good. And we have to wake up, because God's greatest wave over this planet is coming, and God wants to empower us Christians. How shall we be empowered? The first step is that we realize where we, meaning us and our churches, are today in comparison with the first churches and the first apostles 2,000 years ago. And therefore we can have a look at the status of the church today compared with the churches 2,000 years ago. So what's the state of the world today? God is shaking everything that can be shaken. We are living in times where good is called evil and evil is called good, where preaching the truth is made impossible. I mentioned this several times, and not only me, because it is a Bible verse. It's really a prediction about that, what will happen in the end time. It's in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah 5:20 says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." And that's happening outside today. have a look what marriages are allowed now compared with the standard of the Bible. And God is coming now, since about 2011, around the world with a wave of his glory as never before. That's the status of the world. Let's have a look at the status of the churches, especially of the Western churches. We preach the gospel without the blood of Jesus and without the Holy Spirit. We preach a gospel that can be seen as a conformism to the world instead of changing us. We preach a self-help gospel instead of the cross. Self-help means everything is allowed that helps me to get better, but not the power from on high, not by the help of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, we have psychiatrists. And there's a new wrong word of grace that is preached with an hyper-grace that does not demand any kind of change in us personally, in our character, and even not repentance or forgive others. We are not called to do this. But this really has consequences. It's strictly against the Bible. Let's have a look what our highest prayer says. In Our Father, it is in Matthew 6, we pray that what we pray every Sunday. But have a look what is in the last verse, in Matthew 6:15. If you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So, when we do not forgive others, God will not forgive us our sins. Then we can repent as often as we like. It doesn't help. Hypergrace preaches exactly the opposite. And preachers in Western churches also do not demand any kind of personal changes in us and our character. That's about what's preaching today compared with the preaching of the Bible. Good words are supported in the church, but no force, no power. Seeker-friendly churches have the form of Christianity, but they deny the power. And this is also found in the Bible as a prediction for the end time. It is in 2 Timothy 3:1. But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. And now further verses describe what difficulties are there, and then we continue with the verse 5. Having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power, avoid such people. So there are Christians who deny the power. We should avoid them. Churches preach good values. That's fine. They preach theories, concepts, knowledge, like the Pharisees did 2000 years ago, but they avoid any kind of experience with the power from the Holy Spirit. And in consequence, they cannot produce results, and they avoid any kind of manifestation of God's force and power. But the arguments that Christians are too weak for that do not count. That's nonsense, because horror and vampire movies are normal in TV even during dinner time, and in church we fear that the word demon can shock somebody. In the New Testament, Jesus speaks more often about demons than about healing. This theology can be called replacement theology, as Guillermo Maldonado calls it, because we are living in the time of replacements. Entertainment has replaced the worshiping of God and the preaching and the prayers towards God, because the Bible says for the last days, it's in 2 Timothy 4:3. Let's have a look at this verse. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, But having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. And there's another Bible verse that makes this even more detailed. It's from another prophet in Jesaja, so it's also about the end time. In Jesaja 39, it says, "For they are rebellious people, lying children, children unwilling to hear the instructions of the Lord, who say to the seers, 'Do not see,' and to the prophets, 'Do not prophesy to us what's right, speak to us smoothly things, prophesy illusions. Leave the way, turn aside from the path, let us hear no more about the Holy One of Israel.'" Is that familiar to you? Let's not talk about Israel. Let's forget about Israel. Well, that's another point. The point is fables, myths, is more interesting than the sound preaching of the full gospel. We replace the full gospel by our own imagination of a gospel. Besides that, charisma has replaced the power of God. We are looking for charismatic preachers, good-looking and wonderful talking with jokes and joy and all these things, but not with the power from on high, not with the power of the Holy Spirit. And taking care for people with psychological tricks and methods has replaced the deliverance of people from that what suppresses them. And hypergrace is actually replacing the real Jesus. And any kind of judgment of our doing nothing and our sins. So hypergrace is really replacing God's laws and God's justice. God's justice for Christians? Where is that? Yeah, it's in the Bible. Let's have a look at this Bible verse. James 5:9. "Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door." We are talking about brothers, brothers and sisters. These are believers, not unbelievers. Another example is in 2 Corinthians 5:10. "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil." Again, we are talking about believers. And another example, it's in 1 Peter 1:17. "And if you call on him as Father, who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourself with fear throughout the time of your exile." It's about people who call God their Father. So these are, again, believers. It's in John 16:8. "And when he comes," and with he is meant the Holy Spirit, it's the work of the Holy Spirit, "he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment," the whole world, including us Christians. And Derek Prince says, "When your eyes are not fully opened for the judgment, then you did not allow that the Holy Spirit could fulfill his full work in you. And the today wave of hypergrace is not from God, so it's from the other one, from the devil." Let's continue with the status of the church today compared with the status of the churches 2000 years ago. Wonders, signs, wonders, miracles are past. They happened a long time ago, so we push them into the ancient past. Christians actually come into churches without any kind of expectation of the supernatural. They do not think about healing, even if they creep into the church. And we preach a historical God, not a God that can act today. Today, Jesus is a historical figure. He is a kind of philosopher. His wonders are now a myth, a legend. And the Christianity today teaches his life without any kind of wonders. And the supernatural was replaced by self-help, tricks and psychology. The Holy Spirit in the actual churches is damned and pressed out of the churches. And that's blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. There are many Bible verses that warn us in detail against this sin, against the Holy Spirit, because this is a sin that can never be forgiven. There's a simple and very soft verse that I like to pick out now. It's in 1 Thessalonica 5:19. It says, "Do not quench the Spirit." It's a demand from God to us, not showing here the consequences, but it's important. Still, the Holy Spirit is quenched every Sunday and we don't give him room. Whatever we do, we have our own agenda, and so there is no room for the Holy Spirit to come with his agenda. And worshipping is washed down to a kind of duty where we sing our song in shortest possible time. We have done our duty, we have done what is necessary, and that has nothing to do with worshipping God until the invited Holy Spirit comes through the worship, we open the heaven, and God can act here on earth. That's the true aim of worshiping. Wonders are today in the churches in a crisis. Today the supernatural is in a crisis. We are used to learn and to live without God's power. We practice in every church service the not being active of his presence, the absence of his presence. Occultism and witchcraft is much more popular than God's wonders because the power of God is absent in churches and the world doesn't see it. So the consequences for modern churches is, there are three consequences. First one, when we continue with this kind of Christianity, we can close the churches. They have no purpose anymore. Second point is, without the supernatural power, we are not able to change that what is necessary in individual people. We cannot heal them, we cannot deliver them, we cannot help them. We cannot help them with their needs. And the third point is that on a bigger scale, crisis and problems in our society, we can never solve by our own strengths. This can only be done with supernatural means. So in total, we are taught, we are preached, we get many, many sermons and lessons, and they lead to something that is described in the Bible in Hosea 4:6, and that says, "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge." That's the opposite. Yes, we have too much knowledge, but we have no knowledge about the force that we really need and about that, what God wants to empower us with. And it's even worse when we look at an example here in the Hohelied 3:3. "The watchmen found me as they went about in the city." So there's a lady walking around searching for her lover, and she asks the watchman, "Have you seen him whom my soul loves?" They didn't know him. They haven't seen him. "Scarcely had I passed them when I found him whom my soul loves." So that's a parable. Who are the watchmen in churches? The priests. And who is searching for the lover, Jesus? The believers. And when these watchmen, the priests, cannot help the searchers to find Jesus, sometimes it's necessary to leave the church to find God directly, without the help of those preachers who have no idea how to find Jesus by themselves. So what's the reason for the status of the church today? One reason for the status is the absence of the revelations today. When we don't get revelations from Jesus today, we will preach and teach a historical Christ and believe in a historical person. But how many of us know that Jesus really lives? Do you know Jesus? Does Jesus know you? Can you hear his voice? The next reason is many of us think that they have seen everything. So these are professional Christians. They can not hear and not see today what's God doing today, because they have seen it all, so they don't look. They believe that they've seen everything, and they cannot believe that God does something new. Next reason for the state of the church is that the wish for more is not created in us, in the churches, is not empowered in us, in the churches, but it is suppressed. And without the wish for more, any kind of change in us and any kind of movement towards Jesus is stopped. So the church is in a crisis because the revelation of his resurrection and being alive and being active today is failed. How can I get out of that? By change, by my personal change and my personal transformation. First step is, you can go to places where you can get more from God. Or you can, by yourself, with some other Christians, try to have more from God in your church. And you must know, there's much more available from God than you have ever seen before. And if you think that you have already seen everything, you give up your faith. At the day where you realize that there is a power of the resurrection of Jesus, your eyes will be opened and you can see the getting alive of Jesus means re-establishment, coming back to life, breaking down of walls, business are refreshed, we get delivered from spirits, we can get healings, and we stand up from our spiritual death, from emotional death, and from any area of our life where death holds us and stops us and blocks us. Next step is grow in hunger for something bigger towards Jesus. The religious mindset tells you that this is wrong. Ignore them. Never come into the arrival mentality. Never think that you arrive. You can continue much more, and there's much more that you can receive from Jesus. And try to find out how you can jump on this actual worldwide wave of God's glory and God's empowerment that is rushing over the planet. Be tired of doing all the ways the same things. Demand something new. Demand something different. And pray all the time. Place yourself on the promises of God that you got. For example, the promise that my sheep will hear my voice. Eagerly look for the gifts of God and ask around how you can get them. Summary of all this is, you cannot just do everything else except that what he said, what we should do. And if you think that the point that I mentioned, if we continue with the Christianity like that, we can close our churches. If you think that this is too hard and this is not true, then have a look at something that I have seen in the Netherlands not long ago.
And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved.
Who is this?
This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee.
Then Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple, and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves.
It is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves.
Und Jesus trat in den Tempel Gottes ein und trieb alle hinaus, die im Tempel verkauften und kauften, und die Tische der Wechsler und die Sitze der Taubenverkäufer stieß er um. Und er spricht zu ihnen, es steht geschrieben, mein Haus wird ein Bethaus genannt werden, ihr aber habt es zu einer Räuberhöhle gemacht.
How could all this happen? Well, the devil had 2,000 years time to reprogram our Christianity, to reprogram our speakings, our Christian language, and to reprogram our teachings and preachings in the churches. So we are reprogrammed with many religious lies. Let me give you some examples. Today there are no demons anymore. Today, there's no speaking in tongues. And if you hear something like that, it's not from God. So it's from the other. Today, there are no prophecies anymore. Only wrong prophets. And they mess up everything. Today, there are no healings anymore from God. That's by accident. Today, God speaks to nobody anymore. Today, any kind of looking for more from God is called charismatic. And that's from the devil. Today, feelings are not from God or from the Holy Spirit, so they are from the other and they must be suppressed. They are dangerous. Today, nobody has to do anything by himself because everything comes by grace and it's up to God to do these things. Today, all religions worldwide are the same because we all have the same God. And talking about the end times is pure nonsense because that's thousands of years in the future, and actually we have really much, much more serious problems. And everything that happens today with God is not new. It already happened before. Awakenings, we had several. And today we do not need an awakening because we are all very, very awakened. These are only a few lies from the enemy. Are there any sentences that I told you where you had an internal reflection that you had some kind of nurses strings pulled that you think, well, what's that? Then we have to clean up with something that the enemy has placed into you. That was an overview about the state of the church today compared with the church 2,000 years ago. That's enough for today. Thank you.